says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. The behold is the part that gripped me. Behold means take a good long look at, study intently, and put your focus on this magnitude and manner of love that God has for us. Not a casual looking, not just a glancing at, but set yourself in a way so as to get a revelation of the depth of the love the Father has for us. And so that's what we're wanting to do. I challenge you, as I will continue to do, what happens when we take a word like love or a statement like God loves us is to say, I already know the fullness of what that means, therefore I'm going to dial my receiver to something else. I just want to challenge you not to do that. I want to challenge you to believe that each of us in this room needs to receive a deeper, more fuller revelation of God's love. And if we'll posture ourselves that way in humility, I believe we'll receive that which he desires us to receive. This is a quality of love that we just haven't fully experienced yet. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, many times I can hear testimonies and we've partaken of God's love to various degrees and through various experiences, but you know, most of us in modern church just live life most commonly settling for considerably less than what God intends for us. And so I'm on a crusade. I think I'm on a crusade because Jesus warned us of something in our day in Matthew 24 that we've kind of recognized as a deeper statement than what first meets the eye. Because Jesus says in Matthew 24, because of the increase of wickedness in that day, in the day of my coming, in the day where the greatest revival in history in humankind has ever seen, in that day, he says the love of many or the love of most will grow cold, specifically because of an increase of wickedness. Okay, so to say differently, the enemy has a specific assignment, and that assignment is connected to whether God's people know his love or not. And his wickedness released in the earth is specifically released to try to diminish or steal the revelation of the Father's love for his church in that hour, okay? So just the fact that Jesus talked about a great falling away, you know, we have to understand that that doesn't mean, and a bunch of people will stop going to church, okay? He didn't say that. He said there will be a falling away, and the falling away is from a place of our first love. That there's a whole lot of folks that because they're more religious than they are relational, they won't quit going to church, but they'll spend no energy or effort discovering the depth of God's love for them. See, so there's a difference. So don't say how many people go to church isn't how to measure it. It's not attendance that we're after. God's after our heart. And to be just very clear, God's love is more powerful than we know, okay? That's the essence of what we're talking about. He desires that we pursue knowing it, but I think in a real sense, it's actually unable to be fully known yet. You know, Paul says, I want to know how deep, how high, how wide, and I always forget the fourth dimension, don't I? That's just like, whichever one I didn't say, long. There you go. Yeah. Thank you. There's always a good coach in there. I can say, I'll say one of them, but I can't remember whichever one it was. And so we got to come to realize that the tendency of our heart is to grow dull easily. I mean, that's just one of those, well, nobody wants to say it, but I'm kind of, we do. We get distracted. We get dull. We get lukewarm pretty fast. And then the things that mattered to us when we were on the mountaintop are just less significant because the daily problems, the struggles, the grind, all that stuff is in our face. And it's like, oh, well, I probably didn't hear God right, or it's probably not going to happen. It's like, no, you did hear God right. And that's just not only your human dullness, but that's also the enemy's plan is to once again come to you just like he did to Adam and Eve and say, did God say? Did God say he was really going to bless you? Did God say that he'd be faithful? You know? And so there's a challenge. And really, I believe that God, and I said this a few weeks ago, that God's really saying, will you come away from those things that have temporal pleasure in order to trade up for that which is of eternal joy? I mean, there is a trade, and that's part of the angst, is because we're finite in that we only have so much time and money and energy. And so where we put our time and our money and energy, a lot of times, is just what we become passionate towards. And when we're passionate towards those things that aren't eternal, then we shouldn't have consternation over why we're dull. It's a real kind of a painful process to say, let go of the comfortable and the familiar in order to embrace the wild adventure of trusting God fully. Wait a minute, it is scary. No question about it. I mean, I kind of picture it a little bit because I know you guys. When Larry said, we're going to go and we don't know where we're going to go. And I'm thinking, April's head didn't explode, you know. You know, yeah, she's going, yeah, no, it almost, you know, I've known her for years. She is a great planner. That's what I mean, okay? And to say we're going to do something without planning, thinking, well, Larry, how was that ride? You know. But the reality is, I know, because that's in all of our lives. I want to know what's going to happen. Does it require faith then? Oh, see, there's a, you could go, if right now, if you were to go to the bookstore or online, there's probably a billion and one with a title, something about the secrets of success. The secret of a successful whatever, fill in the blank. The secret to being a successful Christian, or the secret of seeing miracles, you know, if it's a Christian bookstore or whatever. But there's always, and I think, you know, the secret of the successful life is just worded wrong. I think it should be, what we're really after is to know the success of the secret life. Okay? It's not the secret of the successful life. It's the success of the secret life that God wants us to know and understand. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, is the only place you see this in Scripture, three things to help us reveal the power of our secret life is given in a measurable presentation when he says, my Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you openly. And he talks about that in regards to your intimacy in the place of prayer, in the place of giving, and the place of fasting. You don't see him using that particular verbiage in any other context in Scripture except in the place of what your intimacy with God looks like is reflective in your giving, your fasting, and your praying. For the first part of it, you know, many times people think, well, they're trying to earn something from God, and he exposes in Isaiah 58. That's not at all what it's about. But when your heart is struck by God, you want more of God, and you're ready to sell everything you have to buy the field to have more of God. You know, that's kind of what the parable says, right? When he saw what it was worth, he didn't even consider it a big deal to sell everything and go buy the field. And so when we talk about fasting, as an example, it's not simply about food, but it's about saying, those things that bring me joy and pleasure, I'm going to lay aside in order to have my pleasure centers fully stimulated and alive and connected to God. Okay? It's not saying, and if you give more, that'll prove your love. He said, no, once you've been struck by love, giving is the nature of God that's alive in you, and you can't help yourself but being a giver. Prayer is no longer drudgery, and you don't measure it based in how many minutes you have to pray. It's like, oh my gosh, how can I get more time to be in prayer with God? Because my heart is so alive in the place of hearing him speak my name. So that's, you know, the religious mindset over the years has done stuff to twist the word of God to, well, what is the motive? You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And so we beat every people over the head. Well, if you love him, you'll obey him. Well, gosh, because I don't, you know, shame and guilt. The reality of it is, if you have a revelation of how much he loves you, then you will be so empowered by his love that obedience will be the automatic response of your heart. So, when we go, gosh, I've been disobedient and rebellious, we can say, I can repent. All those repentance is good, daily, weekly, daily, moment by moment, yes. Andrea and I think a lot of lies. So when she said, "Moment, moment," she spoke what I was thinking. So I just went. But the picture is that we all could grow in the knowledge of the love of God, and God expects us to. And sometimes we get caught up in praying for things that Jesus already spoke of in that Sermon on the Mount. Rewards. We want greater anointing in our life. We want greater favor. You know, we want greater blessings. And he's already saying those things come, the rewards of the Father come in the divine exchange that is that happens in the secret place. And that's what we have to have faith about, because faith is trusting God will do what he said even when we have no physical evidence of it. And the truth that Jesus spoke to us was revealed in John 16 and 17. Jesus clearly spoke in John 16 and 17 that he came to reveal the Father, right? I mean, that was, I came to reveal the Father. And when we talk about Jesus revealing the Father, it's amazing one chapter, Jesus refers to the Father 10 times. See, the key to our intimacy in our prayer life is really knowing the Father. The key to our expecting blessings and not cursing, expecting healing and not sickness, expecting provision and not poverty is knowing the Father. See, Jesus came that we would know the Father. And knowing the Father is really the what the secret life is about. It's not mystical emptying your mind so that you can float along on a cloud. It's coming into a place of quiet so the Spirit can reveal to you who the Father is. This almost sounds too simple, right? But that's what Jesus said the Spirit was sent to do. Take what is the Father's and reveal it to you. Well, what is in the Father's heart for you? Love, encouragement, hope, joy. This is how the Father feels over you. And then the reality of it is, I can't convince you, and I'm not supposed to. That's his job. And you can't be, when there's a stronghold, when there is an obstacle or an obstruction, our prayer isn't outside of a revelation of the Father's love, isn't able to deliver us. Because if we're praying without faith, Scripture already tells us that whatever's not of faith is sin. In other words, just because you said the words, where is your heart directed? Is it in a mystical set of rules that if you follow them, somehow you'll be in line for the blessing? Is it in the fact that I did do my duty? Is it that I'm a pretty good guy and I've behaved well? See, we have to know our faith can and will only operate when it's our faith in the Father, in the Father's love, in the Father's character, in the Father's nature, that he's a good Father and he has good gifts for his children. And that though right now the story looks a little bleak, that he's written the end and it's got a great ending. I'll just wait to the final chapter to see. See, Jesus had an announcement to his disciples, and basically the announcement was that they had received this amazing privilege to enjoy the Father just as he had. See, he was living. He made it very clear in his teaching that I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. I don't speak anything that I don't hear my Father speaking. Okay? And so in that discourse, John 16, verse 22. You can turn there if you want. I guess that's where we'll land for a little while. It says, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. There's about 6 verses here. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language or in parables. I will tell you plainly about the Father. And he says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. He's made it clear that there's an undefeatable joy available in direct connection to communing with the Father. You see that? He's saying, there's a joy that comes in fellowship with the Father that I'm living in, and now I'm making that same fellowship available to you. Now, what happens, or what has happened, you know, to me, you know, Jesus is saying, I know what you're looking at. You're seeing grief. You got some grief because I'm talking about going to the cross and things are happening here. You're not really sure, but he's saying, up to this point, you've had a perception, and that perception is, I'm your ally with God. I am your guy that if you need something, you ask me and I'll ask the Father and he'll give it to you. And I'm talking about going away, and so your mind is starting to freak a little bit. I mean, if you're the guy who goes to the Father for us, then what's going to happen when you're gone? And because our perception of him is he's just a little agitated with the whole human race except for you. That's kind of the perception that they had based on what they saw from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? And so they're in this kind of confusion that we're not sure how this is going to work, but if you're not here, we're not nearly as connected as what you are. And yet Jesus says, I see this and I understand this. And he goes on to say that there's a spirit that's going to be sent, my Holy Spirit, and it'll actually be better for you because you'll have access to the Father all the time by this spirit. Now, many people, probably a majority, this is one of probably the biggest issues, have a skewed picture of the Father. Okay, some because they had a father who was absent, or a father who was abusive, or a father who was busy, or, you know, 101 earthly reasons why your father wasn't perfect. Even if you had a good earthly father, sometimes that could be a stumbling block because you think, well, my dad was good. He bought me gifts all the time. Or my dad was good. He never was a hothead. Or my dad was good. And so that's my picture of a good father. See, it doesn't matter who you are, how good your dad was or how absolutely horrific or gone your dad was. The reality was you still need, by the Spirit, a divine revelation of the Heavenly Father. Because he's higher than, he's greater than, he's bigger than, he's more loving than, and it's impossible to actually get a full picture of who the Father is based on any human father or any human information. See, the revelation of the Father has to hit all of our hearts, no matter where we are. And that really, by its design, it's not because, you know, he has it set up that everybody needs a revelation of who he is, not simply because he's got an ego and he wants us to see how cool he is, but the nature of who he is changes the nature of who we are. And so he knows the best thing for us is to know him. See, my perception of the Father probably, you know, and it is, it's growing, and I'm trying to fully embrace more and more, but I've always seen the Father as kind of stern and a little unapproachable, okay? I may be in the minority, but I doubt it, okay? He's a little, just think about it, okay? He did wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven, okay? He flooded the whole earth in Noah's day, and he wiped out a couple million Egyptians in Moses' day. I'm just saying, I've got some evidence that says you don't want to be on his bad side, right? Okay? Just so you understand where I draw my conclusion from. And even when he did say he wanted to talk to people, he was so terrifying. He goes to Mount Sinai and with thunder and lightning and rumblings, and people said, I don't think I want to talk to him. Okay, you go, Moses. Okay, so he has been intense in the past. With all that in my mind, as a Christian, I've kind of had this, I get along pretty good with Jesus, but he's kind of a buffer between me and the Father. Come on. He's kind of softens the fact that I may not have lived up to what I expect to. And see, when we go down that path, Jesus is not a buffer. He's the mediator. Big difference. The mediator makes a way so that we can go to the Father ourselves. The buffer keeps us from getting too close. See? It's like on his end, he's telling God, I'm not really that bad of a guy. And on my end, he's trying to convince me that the Father isn't that bad of a guy. That's a buffer, okay? A mediator is, I made a way so that you could approach him without shame and fear. I mediated. I made a way so all the love that he has for me, you can experience in your own heart for your own self. That's what a mediator does. That's what the Father wants us to understand through the Spirit. And that's why Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. When we submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this intimate knowledge of God becomes ours, it changes everything about how we live. And I'm submitting today that when we sin, it's because the knowledge of God's love isn't fresh in our heart. When we want to give up or fail or never anything else that's negative, I'm just saying that I think it's because what we need again is a fresh revelation of how much God the Father loves us. And that's not, you know, there's times where we believe the Father can love others through us, and that's awesome. And I've received love of God through others. But the primary way that God wants you to know his love is when you're in his presence with him and he tells you himself. Primarily. You've got a lot of evidence, but I'm telling you, when I come out of the secret place from which God has touched me with his love, there's not a demon in hell or a dirtbag on the earth who can tell me anything different about how much God loves me. It messes people up because when God's love is fueling you, no longer can people get power over you to ruin your day, to steal your joy, to get you upset. Why? Well, because Paul said it this way, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ is the driving factor available today. You know, Paul says something in Galatians 5, and that's really where I wanted to end up. So you can turn there if you want. He's talking about in the Galatian church at that time, they had begun to getting into legalism. They were wanting to know if they should do circumcision or not. And basically, you can plug in anything you want for religious activity when Paul's talking about circumcision, because the intent of his message wasn't be or not be circumcised. It was realize something. You've been saved by grace, not by works. The law that you couldn't fulfill has been fulfilled on your behalf. And so he says something in Galatians 5:6. He says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, this is King James, for those of you who use that one, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. NIV. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The fullness of our existence boils down to this reality. You're supposed to walk by faith. And the only way you can walk by faith, I'm supposed to walk by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith. And the only way that we could ever hope to have faith is through a revelation of the Father's love. Period. End of story. A man who says, I need more faith, your response, God's response is, you need more a revelation of more love. You can't generate faith. You can all only encounter love. And when that love has been so real, you have faith that that love that you've experienced is available for whatever the circumstance is. That's what Jesus was living in, beloved. He was in the presence of God, knew his love, came to the earth, stayed in fellowship, and knew God loves these people so much. Oh my goodness, I've got to heal this one. God loves this person. I've got to deliver him from demons. God loves them so much, I've got to die for them. Love. Faith works by love. And that's really the point. When we witness to the lost, when we pray for the sick, when we believe for increase or contend for revival, it's only by faith that we can expect those prayers to be answered. And that faith is in the Father's love, which really only comes through communion with him. See, that's the success of the secret life. And I just say it, I the religious background that I've walked through in the past, it's different than how much I read my Bible, okay? It really is. It's different than how I follow a set of, you know, good rules or principles. It's about me laying all of that down, coming before him and saying, I want to hear your voice, Father. God, I want to know how you feel about me and be willing to believe that there's a love that's so high, so deep, so long, and so wide for you that it can transform everything else in you, through you, and for you. See, I look at it this way. Jesus paid an incredibly high price to give us this access to the Father and this lifestyle of communion that's available to us that could be in an ongoing, unhindered, unbroken fellowship, something that strengthens our faith and equips our souls to live expecting Father God to be who he promised to be. It would be an absolute hideous sin to ignore that access and that communion. And so what I wanted to do with us today, together, if the worship team would come, what I would like to do today is pray for the Holy Spirit to grant us a fresh revelation of the Father's love. You can. Come on, Carla.
The greatest testimony of my life.
The greatest testimony of your life?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. A few years ago, everything in my life was bad. When I say everything, just about everything was going wrong. It was a war every direction I looked. And I couldn't wake up any day without, like, full-on war somewhere. Conflict here, conflict there, problems. And so, I didn't know the heart of the Father at that time. I really didn't. And so I was just, like, drowning in it. And then all these things and situations were just unspiraling. It was just bad. And I'm getting caught in the crossfires and all this stuff. And then we ended up going to a Bible study with some close people that we're still close with, and we're sitting there, and I was thinking it was a safe environment. So I'm sitting there, and first of all, we're sitting in a house of people who spank their children. Okay, I'm not going to here to tell you if spanking's good or spanking's bad, but we're sitting in a house of people who spank their children, and then the person leading the Bible study begins to talk about how if you spank with a spoon, you're abusive. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I'm in another war. Like, and I literally just broke into tears. Like, I literally just busted into sobbing at this Bible study with people that knew me, some who've known me most of my life. I knew this was gonna be a fight. I knew where I stood on it, but I just didn't have a response, and I didn't wanna be in a fight at all. I just was so tired of it. So I just busted into tears. I mean, and everyone just stops. You know, they look at you like you're strange and you're not right, you know, and I'm just crying. Or I don't know if they think I feel guilty for spanking, if he perfectly corrected me by my spanking, you know. I'm like, I didn't know what they thought, but it was silence and no one prayed for me, no one said anything. And then after a while, this one man, who again I know, he said, well, we should probably pray for Carla. And then I hear the Lord say to me, don't let him pray for you. Don't let any prayer of unbelief right now. Like, this is your undoing here. Don't let a single unbelief, prayer of unbelief. You pray. You open your mouth right now. I mean, I was an undone mess. And I was like, okay. So I had been doing study for years on the names of God. Like, study, all these names of God. I love the names of God. And so I literally opened my mouth, and the very first thing out of my mouth shocked me. And it was, Abba. Was the very first thing out of my mouth. And I didn't even know, like, I'd never prayed Abba before. I had never said that name before. I had never anything. So I just was like, in the moment, the Spirit, it was just like, Abba, you saved me, Abba, you. And it just went that direction. And just then it was right before we started coming here. And Scott, that's like the message of your life, is the Father's heart, you know? So it's like God just continuously reveals to me that is the message. We can talk healing, we can talk faith, we can talk all kinds of things, but the message is the love of the Father. And so I just thank God for this.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you so much. Okay, so now my undoing. I just know that really is the key. And I don't know how to say, hey, I want the Holy Spirit to make it real to you today. That's all. And if we can pray, you feel free, Chris. If we can pray, you know, I just know, I hardly know a person that hasn't had some level of dysfunction with father issues. I just hardly know any. And for us to think, well, it probably isn't a big deal. No, according to him, it is a big deal.
You know, Scott, as you were sharing, I just had one of the biggest breakthroughs in a coaching situation. A pastor and his wife of a large church in Texas, and they're just starting a $7 million building program that they went through, and they've dedicated $250,000 to the project. But I've been coaching him for 3 years. His wife's been threatening divorce for 3 years, and it finally came to a place. I said, I think she needs deliverance. And I've worked with them, and I understand her intentions. They're good, but anything he did wrong, she would just backlash at him. And then he would then at some point react to her, and it would just get uglier, and it was falling into the church. I said, you're still qualified because you're doing the right thing with your wife. You're moving towards your wife. You're still qualified. Don't worry. You're going to keep going in the right direction. But every time he'd go further into this thing, she would get into a worse place. And I said, you know, I just think we need to go for deliverance. And I think that's where we're at. And I just prayed for her, and I spoke some really hard truth to her. And finally I just said, let her go for it. Just let her go for a divorce. If that's what she wants, it's not going to get what she wants. Just let her go for it. And she said, hey, I heard that you told Dan to let me have divorce. He's going for a divorce. I said, no, he doesn't want divorce. He's never wanted a divorce. And you know what? I got to tell you, it got so bad that finally we just all really began to pray and fast for her and friends. And she calls me up on a Sunday morning. She says, I'm sitting here listening to Charles Stanley. I don't ever listen to Charles Stanley. And he's talking about the Father's love. I don't believe God loves me. The Father's love. That broke through everything. He's sent me text all week long. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Just that one thing did all the breakthrough she needed. Amen?
Yeah, amen. That's what I believe that he has. And so, Father, we just ask right now. You know, I know this is probably going to be a little more difficult, but I had a picture earlier, and I know why. I want us, if we could come in, I just want us to be next to one another. We're going to pray for people. So I know this might be a little uncomfortable to say, hey, could we just fill the chairs and get right next to, just move over. I want to pray the person on the right and left, but we don't be connected. Just, so if you like, just move over and just fill in. So that we just would be next to somebody on both the right and the left side of us. Just move in. I saw this picture earlier of everybody just coming in together, and I thought, what's that about? And then it just hit me again. So Father, Lord, we pray right now, God, for the spirit of truth. God, that truth that sets us free right now. And the truth, God, that sets us free is the truth of your great love for us. God, the truth that sets us free is that Christ Jesus died not to be a buffer, but to open up a way for us to access you and know, God, your love for us. Just put your hand on the person to the right or left of you and begin praying for them. Father, right now, let them know your love. God, right now, by your Spirit, God, reveal your great love. Thank you, Father, right now, Lord, for the full purpose, revelation, the giving of the Spirit so that we could know the love of the Father. Lord, we just thank you right now for destroying every false image of who the Father is right now. Lord, we thank you this morning for uprooting every feeling of unloveliness that we've held on to. Lord, right now, we want to know your love afresh and anew. Father, we believe your love is more powerful than every stronghold, than every demon force, God, than every wound, than every disappointment. God, we believe your love is greater than, is higher than, is wider than and deeper than, Lord. Any scheme or plot. And so right now, God, we receive fresh revelation of your love. God, we receive this morning passion again to pursue and continuously go after knowing this love, that we would behold this manner of love by which the Father has loved us, that we should be called sons of God. Lord, we thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Remove everything that hinders love. Come and make the Father known to us. Come and renew a right spirit within us that sees the great love you have for us, that believes that you're for us and not against us, that expects great and marvelous things because of the way you love us, and that utilizes the access that you have given us to your heart through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Begin to thank him for it this morning. Just begin to thank him for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for disturbing our peace so that we can receive your peace. For disturbing our comfort, our pain, or our substitute, Lord, that you would disturb that, that we could have the authentic, genuine, ongoing revelation of the magnitude of your love. We say thank you, Father. We say thank you, God. We say thank you, Father God, for making a way through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of this love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Imagine yourself at your piano. And the best piano player in the whole universe has come to tune you. And as he tunes each one to the same place on every string, that now you, with 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork, the Father, you are now in one accord. The example Chris gave was the wife in that certain area of her life understanding the love of Father at the moment was attuned to him, and because of that, she became attuned to her husband. Now, imagine what God can do with a body of Christ in a community of believers who allows God to come in such a way. They give themselves to the place of oneness with him so that they can be one accord as on the day of Pentecost.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Encourage you this morning as we just linger here for another moment that he's waiting for you. He is. He's waiting for you. And whether you have 5 minutes or 5 hours, it It's never too little of a time to set aside to meet with him. Because he'll take whatever time you're willing to give him and show himself faithful to you. He'll show up. He's waiting for you. He's got all the time. And his desire, he's not withholding. He's not in a position of waiting for you to behave. He's in a position of saying, if you come away with me, I'll reveal my love for you. I'll make known to you how great my love is for you. You can walk in confidence in my love because you're my son, because you're my daughter. That's what we see in Jesus. He was just confident of the Father's love. And that's what he wants us to have, confidence. Thank you, Father, for confidence in your love today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. A great time with the Lord. You know, I just, if there's anyone that's in need, a specific prayer that you want to receive prayer ministry for, Steve hasn't moved since we've prayed for him, so it does something good. But if you need prayer, you can come forward this morning. We'll make the altar open if you say, hey, something going on that you want agreement of the body of Christ from or with or for, then you can come forward for prayer. And you want prayer, John?
Yeah.
All right. How'd I know that? Come on. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to receive prayer this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Reach your hands out towards these, if you will, this morning. God, we thank you for your great love. Lord, we believe in breakthrough. God, we thank you that you have the answer to every issue. Lord, you have an abundance. Lord, the abundance of your household is what you said would be available to us. That's what you would cause us to dine from, the abundance of your house. So we thank you, Father God. Lord, every need we call supplied in Jesus' name. Lord, every wound we pronounce healing to in Jesus' name. Lord, every desire, Lord, we declare fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Lord, every obstacle, Lord, we say overcomer. Overcomer. Lord, every unanswered question, we say, God, you're the revealers of mystery. You're the revealer of mystery. Lord, bless these now. Lord, as we proclaim your love over them, we thank you for healing, for wholeness, for wisdom and for revelation, for provision and for protection today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand with me if you will. Father, thank you as we go today that you are with us. God, that your hand is upon us, Lord, that Christ in us, the hope of glory, continues, God, to increase his kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for your peace and your power, your provision and your protection. But as we go today, be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're beautiful. Have a great day.